I'm telling you, good citizens are going to turn to real concern and revolutionary citizens real soon. How do you feel about being complicit in perpetuating that? The greatest toast ever perpetuated on the American people, in your apartment.
Now we're supposed to have unity. Let me tell you something. I'm part of the new resistance.
Finally, I'm back. This is the New Resistance Podcast. My name is Seth, and I want to thank everyone who checked out the first episode. I've gotten a lot of positive comments thus far, so either people are just being nice, or I didn't screw up too many times. And if you happen to be tuning in again today, I'm going to assume that I didn't run you off. Yet. Oh, I've got some very interesting stuff lined up for you today, so we're just going to go ahead and dig right in. But first, I want to remind you that you can email any questions, comments that you might have about any of the subject matter I cover, or if you have any suggestions about a particular issue or story that you'd like to see covered in the future, to the_NRP@yahoo.com. That's the_NRP@yahoo.com, or you can go to anchor.fm/pxpx, and about halfway down the page there is a message link that you can click on and leave a message. Anyways, okay, did those of you in the Springfield area see that Cox South ended up closing down their COVID ICU wing here recently? That's some pretty good news, I would think, right? Well, apparently, Steve Edwards, in all his humility, and I say humility with as much sarcasm as one man can possibly use, stated that they were cautiously optimistic about it. I mean, God forbid they give any of us a ray of hope. We might start to feel encouraged and figure out that they're keeping a certain level of fear going on purpose because other strains or something. We deserve better than cautiously optimistic. Oh, did you all know that Senator Ted Cruz had magic lasers in his hands that could unfreeze windmills, feed and clothe the whole state of Texas while simultaneously turning their lights and heaters back on? But here's the real secret. He only has the ability to use those lasers when he's on the ground in Texas. Yeah, It's true. And he's apparently rendered incapable of saving everyone when occupying space in Cancun with his kids for one day. I had no clue he could do all that. Did any of you? Also, did you hear that America is back? That's what Joe Biden has told European leaders, apparently. Now, I guess President Trump and Mike Pompeo used our invisibility cloak over the last few years. I don't know. We are back, though, just so you all know. Also, during the last segment for his radio/podcast show this past Friday, Dan Bongino released his pick for Villain of the Week. Let's just say it will have your cheeks clenched a little bit tighter. Take a listen.
So I'm in the doctor's office. I had to get some blood taken. You know, I'm in a doctor's office like twice a week now. I swear, like I know every single person in the doctor's office by first name, the administrative staff, the nurses, whatever. I'm reading this story. I am cracking up. The guy next to me, he recognizes me from Fox, even with the mask on. He's looking at me like, dude, what's going on? Like, are you okay? Do you need medication or something? I am dying, like knee slapping laughter. Why? I see this story advice. But this is what. So I have this up in the show notes too, in case you want to show your liberal friends to laugh a little bit. So Apparently, some U.S. diplomats who work in China were returning to China. And upon returning, headline, China gave U.S. diplomats anal COVID tests. In error, American officials say. This is not a joke. Listen to the Hazab headline by Viola Zhao. I love you, Viola. I don't know you, Vice, I think is a left wing, but Viola Zhao, you've done America a favor. This is the story we all needed today. The U.S. State Department is saying, object to this, Joe. Gee, you think? Who made that call? What a real hero. The U.S. State Department says it's committed to preserving the, quote, dignity of American diplomats. Can you imagine? You're walking him. I have traveled under a dip passport, a diplomatic passport before, and you're supposed to be given diplomatic privileges. When you come in through customs in foreign countries, a lot of them have a dip line. Diplomats here. I'm not kidding. And you get to skip the line for the general population. Gen pop. You do. You get this. Imagine being in that dip line and thinking like, I really scored. I skipped this line going back into China. And they're like, sir, drop them. Drop them here. We're going to do the swab. Why am I dropping? No, it's the anal swab instead. And the dude, I'm not doing the anal swab. The villain of the day is definitely the dude at the Chinese border crossing in the airport who thought it was a good idea to do the anal swab rather than maybe just asking people, you know. And thank you to the hero who took a stand on that one and said, no more anal swabs upon entry back into China for our diplomats. And if you are that Chinese individual, the anal swabber, you are our villain of the day on Friday.
Let's take a break. I'll be right back with a story that will likely leave you thinking, WTH? Hey guys, I want to take a few seconds here and tell you about an app called Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. If you're thinking about starting a show of your own, I really encourage you to check it out. It's really easy to use and it's free. And your episodes are automatically made available on most of the major podcasting platforms. Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Overcast, Pocket Cast, TuneIn, etc. Just go to your app store and download Anchor. Or go to anchor.fm. Okay, let's just go ahead and get right into this segment. Joe Biden and his administration are pursuing, among other America Last policies, a very radical restructuring of the world and of the way we live our lives. I will be laying out this radical plan in two parts over the next two episodes. There is just too much information to cram into one segment, and it would all likely end up turning your brain into mush from information overload. Trust me on this. You should see the stack of papers and hours of video I went through when researching this. It's important that you pay attention to both parts in order to get the full scope of what this is, who is involved, and if fully implemented, what it could mean for you, your family, and for this country. I promise you, by the end of part two, a lot of the things that Biden and his administration have been saying and doing, things that a lot of corporations and banks have been saying or doing over the last few months to years, will start to make a whole lot more sense. It may not make you more comfortable. In fact, I guarantee you it won't make you do that. But it will make more sense. So, what is this radical restructuring, you ask? It's called the Great Reset. Capitalism will be morphed into something resembling, though not exactly like it, something akin to National Socialism, with elements of Chinese-style capitalism as well. Except this would be put on a global scale. This new system is being called stakeholder capitalism. Remember that word. The aim is to reset the global economy, to transform every industry from oil and gas to tech, to revamp all aspects of our societies, from education to finance to energy, food, medicine, jobs, urban planning, law enforcement, to social contracts and working conditions. It is presented as a humane, compassionate means to begin a transformation of the social, economic, political structure of the world's operating systems. They really mean capitalism, the free market, and democracy. They plan to use COVID-19 and supposed climate crisis, quote, disasters, as the reasons for needing said reset. Now, I want to play some audio for you from an interview that Glenn Beck did back in August of 2020 with a man named Justin Haskins. In this clip, he is explaining what stakeholder capitalism is. It's only about a minute and 40 seconds long. Here it is.
Essentially, it means collectivist. That's what it means. It means right. Collectivist capitalism. It's an oxymoron. What it really means is that elites, whether that's in America or internationally at the United Nations, they're going to decide what's in the best interest of the collective, and they're going to force businesses, they might be technically private businesses, to act in ways that are in line with leftist thinking. And so that's how they get away with this idea of stakeholder capitalism. What they mean by that is the elites are going to control the economy, which is exactly what's going on in
right.
China.
Right, and you're not, I mean, Oskar Schindler owned his own business in World War II. He owned it. But if you remember, the Nazis were telling him exactly what to make, when to make, how much to make, and what to sell it at.
And it goes even deeper than that. They're not just saying, hey, if you don't do what we tell you, then we're going to destroy you. I mean, they are kind of saying that in a way. But they're also saying, we're going to make you rich beyond your wildest dreams. And we're going to drive all your competitors out of business who are not as woke as you are. If you do what we tell you to do, we'll take care of you. The elite ruling class folks, whether those are kings and queens and lords or emperors or whoever they are, believe that they should be in charge. And what they want to do is find a way to consolidate that power and then to use it to rule over the world. I mean, it sounds crazy, but that's really what they're trying to do here.
The Great Reset is basically a massively funded, very ambitious, internationally coordinated project led by some of the biggest multinational corporations and financial players, entitled ruling class elites, billionaire know-it-alls, George Soros, and climate change activists on the planet. And no, this is not a QAnon theory. It has nothing to do with that stuff. By the way, that's not a knock on those of you who are into the Q stuff. And I'm not into it, but I certainly won't condemn people who are, though. Some of that stuff is just too out there for me, just too much. Anyways, this plan was put together by an organization called the World Economic Forum. For those of you who may have never heard of or know nothing about the World Economic Forum, or WEF, it is an international organization of, as I listed earlier, business leaders, bankers, hedge fund people, the who's who of leftist billionaires, politicians, academics, union leaders, NGOs, basically globalist elites and leftist activists. Their intention is to engage the foremost political, business, cultural, and other leaders of society to shape global, regional, and industry agendas. It was founded in 1971 by a man named Klaus Schwab. More on him in just a second. Who organized a meeting of European corporatists who, in their words, wanted to make their businesses competitive with American firms. Now, I honestly don't know if that is actually the truth, but they by far have not ended up that way, as you will learn in more detail next week. They were originally called the European Management Forum. In the mid-70s, they added more political and social stuff to their agenda. Then in 1987, they changed their name to the World Economic Forum in order to, again, in their words, reflect the importance of global economic and political issues, including poverty, environmental problems, international conflict. Translation, these elites thought they had all the answers to solve all the world problems and began to stick their noses where it didn't and still doesn't belong. One early example is that in 1994, they apparently drafted the Cairo Agreement, which was a supposed peace treaty between the PLO's terrorist leader, Yasser Arafat, everybody remember him, and Israel's Shimon Peres. I think that's how you say that. The Great Reset is the latest and most dangerous example. The WEF holds an annual meeting every January in Davos, Switzerland, where they basically pat themselves on the back, then discuss how they can solve all the world's problems. Climate change, even added systemic racism, poverty, etc., which they have no business doing. It's somewhat like a second United Nations, except its official members aren't government people, and their meetings are attended by, and they work with governments, whereas the UN is the exact opposite regarding members, etc. Just what the world needs, right? Two United Nations. Yay! So who is this Klaus Schwab? He is from Germany, a supposed intellectual and former business policy professor. He's also a former member of the UN Advisory Board on Sustainable Development, and of course the founder of the World Economic Forum. Mr. Schwab also came up with the idea and name for stakeholder capitalism, in which the private sector and the government merge into what he calls a partnership, but it's actually a government takeover of the private sector. He considers the free market unfair to the world's poor and hungry, and democracy an inefficient political arrangement. Lovely, lovely man so far. He adopted the term Great Reset from a 2011 book by economist Richard Florida in the context of the UN's Agenda 2030, which is about sustainable development, Green New Deal type objectives. I could do a whole episode just on Agenda 2030 as my eyes are rolling. Klaus Schwab and John Kerry were big proponents of it. I really strongly recommend looking up Agenda 2030 or Agenda 21. They are pretty much one and the same. Anyways, the Great Reset is just a continuation of this crap, except on steroids. In Schwab's own words, it will remake the world, quote, to create a more inclusive, resilient, and sustainable world going forward, end quote. All the right PC words packed into one sentence. Private property is to be abolished. Private transportation, not allowed. Dissent in the printing or production of materials will not be permitted at the cost of access to social media and internet domains. This is already happening. Fossil fuels will be replaced wholesale by green technologies. Where have we heard that idea before? Society will become cashless. All transactions will be done electronically. Governments will be able to drop money into everyone's accounts. You know, pay everyone a guaranteed living wage, whether they want to work or not. That one sound familiar too? But just as easily take every bit of it away at the very first sign of provocation. Like, for instance, support the wrong candidate, attend the wrong rally, peacefully protest for the wrong cause, things like that. Everyone will be equal, everyone will be happy, and like it. In one of his books, Schwab rants about, quote, some rich countries endowed with sophisticated health systems and strong assets in research that will be perceived to have failed their citizens. End quote. He says, their social fabric and economic system are the real culprits guilty of failing to guarantee economic social welfare for the majority of citizens. Klaus Schwab is a dangerous man. He uses the right PC woke terminology, and he can be very convincing. But that doesn't make him right. It makes him sinister and pretentious. Real quick, to end this segment, I want to give you an idea of who some of their members are and which industries and places they come from. One of the things that makes the WEF and Great Reset so dangerous is the vast number of areas in our society that their members and devotees come from. I'm telling you, folks, it's not really surprising so much, being we're talking about the ruling class elites, but scary how much widespread support they have. There are people and organizations from the food and beverage, aviation and travel industries, banking, energy utilities, healthcare, IT, infrastructure and urban development, the insurance industry, of course, media and entertainment, retail, and the supply chain, and even some in oil and gas. On the board of trustees, you've got Mark Carney. He's a Goldman Sachs and former head of the Bank of England, and currently Boris Johnson's climate change advisor. Lawrence Fink, he's a billionaire and CEO of BlackRock. That's the largest investment firm in the world. Chrystia Freeland, Deputy Prime Minister of Canada. Peter Maurer, he's president of the International Red Cross. Al Gore, you've got the former and current heads and senior people at the IMF and the World Bank, European Central Bank, Bill and Melinda Gates, John Kerry, Michael Bloomberg, George Soros have all given their money and support and have been involved with the World Economic Forum for many years. Also, many, many big businesses and corporations have all pledged support for Great Reset. Let me just read some of them to you. AARP, Amazon Web Services, American Heart Association, Apple, AstraZeneca, Bank of America, Boeing, CBS, Dell, the Discovery Channel, Facebook, Google, Gilead Sciences. Wasn't the ever holy Fauci a part of that company at one point? Hewlett-Packard, Huawei, the Chinese company, IBM, Johnson & Johnson, Manpower, Mary Kay, MasterCard, Mayo Clinic, Moderna, Open Society Foundation, PayPal, Pepsi, Pfizer, Quest Diagnostics, Coca-Cola, Toyota, Tyson Foods, UPS, Verizon, Walmart, Western Union, and Zoom. There are also numerous AI companies, and that's just a small portion. I have 13 pages, 3 columns on each page filled top to bottom of all the companies and organizations involved in this. You're probably saying by now, come on, Seth, this is just another wacko cause that all the elitists have glommed onto. It's probably harmless. Maybe your eyes are half glossed over. To be completely honest, in the beginning of my research, my eyes were kind of getting glossed over as well. Then, as I got into just what these fascists are planning, because that's what this stakeholder capitalism really is, a kind of global fascism. If Antifa really wants to be anti-fascist, here are the real enemies, boys. The World Economic Forum. By the end, my eyes were about as wide open as they could get. And I really, truly think that at the end of this discussion on the Great Reset, yours will be too. Let's take a break. Stay tuned. You're listening to the New Resistance Podcast. I'll be right back. Welcome back. Before I get started with this next segment, I want to remind you that if you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, shoot me an email at the_NRP@yahoo.com. That's the_NRP@yahoo.com. So if you remember in the first episode and the teaser I put out before that, I said that one of the objectives of this show was to highlight and talk about ways that we can engage and fight back against the ruling class on every level, national, state, and local. There will be some things along the way that we can do in the short term. However, a lot of it is going to be playing the long game. Something the Dems and the left are masterful at. They just are. Someday soon I will go into more detail on my opinion / theory on why and what all we can learn from the left on. It's kind of a blind spot, I guess you could call it, that we have had for a long time. Anyways, so there are quite a few guides and plans that have been published in the last year at least on how to approach fighting back against this onslaught that we have been experiencing since 2016. Trump's election and Brexit were a real stick in the eye, a real screw you, we've had enough to the elites of this country and Europe for sure. Their grip on power was really shaken. I would say more so than even the Tea Party movement of 2009-2010. Since that election, as we've seen, they are out for revenge. This week, I want to highlight an article that comes from the website American Mind. If you've never been there, I strongly recommend checking it out. AmericanMind.org. There is some really thought-provoking stuff over there. This piece is titled The Rise of the Insurgent Right. It was written by a man named Josiah Lippincott. He is a former Marine. He is a former congressional page for Devin Nunes back in 2010. He graduated from Hillsdale College. And he's also had pieces published in The Federalist, The Washington Examiner, and quite a few other places. Well, this piece was published on September 11th, 2020. This was meant as a response to an article that I actually covered in the previous episode called The COVID Coup by Angelo Covilla. The writer starts off by saying, quote, "This is tyranny. A free country does not strip its citizens of the right to work by edict. A free country does not dehumanize its citizens with mask-wearing mandates. A free country does not suspend the rights of citizens to travel freely within its borders." In the COVID coup, Angelo Covilla cuts through and exposes the lies on which the authoritarian coronavirus response was built. He makes clear that the initial predictions of death and destruction, you remember all the important models, right? The IHME and others, were wildly incorrect, and that the policy solutions proposed and implemented in response were totally inconsistent with our way of life, and were also devious and just so many levels of stupid, on top of being inconsistent, I might add. Simply put, our unjustly titled experts have failed us miserably and are still failing us. Their quote-unquote response has obviously not been working. That is painfully obvious, especially here in the Springfield Green County area, and has been for quite a while now. At least to those in possession of common sense and the ability to be honest about what is smacking them right in the face. We lowly citizens know it as reality. Things such as fairly applying the law with no mind paid to economic class or political party, skin color, or citizenship. Fairly applying the right to peacefully protest, along with personal choice and privacy. If they aren't already dead, they're on life support. None of this should come as a surprise to us. After all, local and county health department directors have been given and mayors have seized near complete control over every aspect of our lives for the past year. So what hope is there for those of us who reject every bit of this overreaching control? How do we defeat this monster? As Lippincott states, quote, this crisis, I personally would lump everything from the November election to the second sham impeachment in with it, has been a great revealing. It has shown with stunning finality the weakness and uselessness of the established Republican Party, even among many of those who fancy themselves constitutionalist and Tea Party conservatives, end quote. Are there any rights that our government on any level is intent on respecting for all citizens anymore, especially in times of crisis? Shockingly, the answer coming from both parties' establishment increasingly seems to be no. Not quite halfway through the piece, he says, quote, we need a rebirth. Old, failed institutions must be swept away. Conservatives' DC think tanks that proclaim the goodness of constitutional government but won't denounce rule by emergency edict, state representatives that won't impeach out-of-control governors, and local news outlets, KY3, the news leader, that perpetuate panic and hysteria all deserve to feel the pain. Personally, I would add mayors, city council members, and other elites as well. They need to lose donors, voters, and customers. Everyday Americans must once again find within themselves the self-assertion necessary to preserve their rights and their way of life. What we need now is the spirit of freedom fighters, rebels, and outlaws. The American right no longer needs, quote, conservatives. It needs insurgents, end quote. Now, it goes on to say, and keep in mind, this was published 2 months before the election, that basically the first task would be to re-elect Trump, therefore giving us 4 more years to prepare and regroup. Well, it doesn't need to be discussed past saying we didn't succeed at that. So we don't have that time to prepare. We're in the next phase right now. The next section I'd like to cover, I want to highlight and stress to you all in the strongest possible manner. It's called the long and local game. Mr. Lippincott says, quote, this new insurgent right must form the backbone of a new political establishment that will exist long after Trump is gone. Our focus should be local. The right can learn a valuable lesson. Regional health officials have nearly unlimited power and total job security. These powers must be seized from the hands of ideological leftists. The new insurgent right must take over local bureaucracies, city councils, youth sports leagues, Boy Scout troops, churches, and school boards. I would add county commissions, mayoral seats, etc. There is already a movement on the city council mayor front here in Springfield. There are 5 brave individuals who have courageously stepped into the mix. 4 for city council, 1 for mayor, to unseat the fools currently holding office in City Hall. More on who they are towards the end of this segment. If we are going to have any chance of having places of freedom in the future America, we're going to have to create those places for ourselves. None of it is going to be handed to us. We're bombarded with messages of fear. Don't leave your house. Schools are unsafe. Your job is unsafe. Is your neighbor a super spreader? You can't go here, here, or here until we tell you. We're currently living in a time where having face-to-face interactions and friendships, that's without your face and self-respect being concealed, is considered an act of rebellion. We have to stop giving in to this. Quote, the secret handshake of the dissident today is the simple handshake, end quote. It's obvious now that these restrictions are not going to be lifted in most places for a long, long time, if at all. In Springfield, Mr. McClure, and I refuse to refer to him as mayor anymore, what he has taken part in doing to this city and its citizens, particularly over the past year, as far as I am concerned, removes him for receiving the honor of being called mayor. It's disgraceful. Anyways, he keeps re-upping the emergency declaration. It was either this time or the time before that he said something to the effect of, I don't expect or see that I'll have to use all the powers afforded to me under this declaration. Well, why the heck are you continuing to re-up it then? Of course you and I both know why. Look, folks, we can have liberty or we can have authoritarians. We cannot have both. That goes for Springfield as well. We can either have a return to liberty and freedom in this city, or we can continue to be ruled and stomped on by the elite of the good old boys club. We can no longer have both. We must accept nothing less than a complete restoration of our way of life. Please vote April 6th for Marcus Ayton to take the office of mayor from McClure, who has been in and around politics for decades. He has learned well from the Blunt family. Marcus is an excellent choice. He has a good heart and he truly cares about people. No, he's not a politician. He is an outsider and has a pretty big mountain to climb against the political machine here. But I seem to recall another outsider who stepped up, albeit on a much bigger stage, against seemingly insurmountable odds, fought like hell, and won. There's no reason why an outsider cannot win here on this stage. After 2020, the time is right. However, Marcus and the other candidates I mentioned earlier who are running for city council are going to need our help. They cannot do it on their own. I suggest maybe you volunteer to knock on doors, to pass out flyers or door hangers. If you or a friend or family own a business, offer to put up their signs in your window. Really, just anything you feel could benefit their campaigns in any way. All you have to do is ask. If you can, maybe donate money to their campaigns. They're going to need it. This is an important opportunity to put control of our city back into our hands. Go and check out Marcus at MarcusAytonForMayor.com. Michael Hasty, who is running for General Seat B, at HastyForSpringfield.com. Alexander Ayton, who is running for General Seat A, at AlexanderAyton.com. Angela Romine, she is running for Zone 1, at RomineForSpringfield.com. And Craig Kaufman, he is running for Zone 4. Please forgive me, I could not find his website address. You can find all of these candidates on Facebook as well. Contact them. Ask them questions. See, they are real people who will actually talk to you like you are a human being, not like an annoying constituent who they're too good to answer. I want to leave you with one last quote from this article, The Rise of the Insurgent Right. It says, Americans deep down know they should not have to live muzzled like rabid dogs in constant fear because our self-fancied rulers have decreed it so. The coronavirus has provided a great opportunity for rebirth and rebounding. The coup is over, but the counter-revolution has just begun. Josiah Lippincott, AmericanMind.org. Check it out. Let's take a break. This is the New Resistance Podcast. Coming up, I'll have a brand new regular segment that I am so stoked to introduce to you. We'll be right back. And we're back. I want to introduce a regular segment about something that helped make me who I am today and is very deep, near and dear to my heart, and that is music. Punk rock, hardcore, metal in particular. The music, the culture, the attitude, just everything about it are just as much a part of what makes me me as anything else. I won't go into crazy detail, but my dad died when I was at a young age, and after that it was just me, my mom, and my sister. I was really angry, I was really lost, and I felt all alone. And a few short years after that, I discovered a band called Striper. And after that, my life was completely changed. I'd found my escape, and music became very special to me. And I got this poster in my room that says music in real big letters. Then around it, it tells a whole bunch of things that describe what music is or does. And I'd like to share a few of my favorites with you. Music makes life beautiful. Music says all the things I wanted to say. Brings a tear to my eye. Music makes me believe I'm gonna be all right. Music makes my soul ache. Music heals wounds. Inspires me. Keeps my heart beating. So yeah, I'm a music junkie, I admit it. I call it the Standout Lyrics of the Week segment. I will be sharing some lyrics from a different song every week by bands or artists from different genres that you may or may not know that relates to or reminds me of something that I have talked about during the episode or has occurred to me during the week. This week's lyrics come from a song called Reality Bath by a band named Lamb of God. I really like these guys. They've been around for a while now. The section of lyrics I want to highlight today speaks to the attitude and the mission of this show, which is, we will not stand by, stay quiet, and ignore what is being done to us anymore. And it happens to include the lyrics to the intro of this show. Reality Bath is from their self-titled album. The whole song talks about how we as a society have become so desensitized to the violence and suffering that we hear about on our phones, on our computers, on TV, etc. Like the school shootings, gun violence, domestic violence, rioting, terrorism, and so on. And how we're shocked initially, but so easily and quickly move on. Because there's just been so much of it over the decades that we as a society essentially say what amounts to, oh, that is just awful. Something should really be done about this. And then we just kind of move on with our lives, forgetting about all the victims and all those kids and all the horror and the nightmares that they've been through, and nothing really ever gets done. School shootings, the gun violence in places like Chicago are good examples of this. He is saying that he can't accept that anymore, that he will not submit to this way of thinking anymore. This is kind of a recurring theme throughout the album. The lyrics for this week say, slip so easily into dull indifference when horror has been normalized, a cynical defense. But I can't sit here silently and watch it all go by. The strongest hearts will raise their voice against the murderous tide. No, it can't go on like this. Millions of voices echo in the darkness, screaming, no, I won't accept this. The faint of heart will fall in line, but I will not submit. Here is what that part of the song actually sounds like.
Silently and
If you like that sample of that song, I strongly recommend checking out the whole song and others by the band. You can find it on YouTube or Spotify, or if you didn't really like it, wasn't really your thing, you can go to www.azlyrics.com and search for the lyrics or search for the band and find the lyrics to the song through that. That's Reality Bath by Lamb of God. I'll be right back to close out the show. Stay tuned. This show is brought to you through Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Check it out wherever you download apps or go to anchor.fm. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for checking out this and the previous episode. Also, for taking time out of your day to listen to me. It is a very humbling experience that anyone would actually want to hear what I have to share. I am most certainly not anyone special. It is my hope that this show will increase your knowledge and awareness of the things going on around us in the world. And more specifically, the U.S., Springfield, Southwest Missouri, and to always question the people involved. To never take a politician, candidate, bureaucrat, or journalist, or anyone else involved in those fields of work, at their word. Always do your homework. Don't take the things I talk about for gospel. Do your research. It will better prepare you to put up an effective resistance. It will better prepare you for what is to come in the future for America. If Donald Trump's entrance into politics and being elected POTUS did nothing else, it at the very least brought all the radicals out of the shadows and shined a huge light on the establishment, by the way. Brought them out of the shadows and caused their hate and disgust for everything America and those who stand with her to be pushed into the limelight. How did he do that? Essentially by fighting back, by refusing to be bought off and baited into being the victim of their game. He didn't bend when they came after him. No, he punched back harder than they hit him to begin with. He stood for the truth no matter how much flack he got for it. And no, he wasn't perfect, and often stepped on his own message. But President Trump always got back up and never apologized one bit for any of it. There is a coup happening right now in this country, and more broadly around the globe. There are power-hungry, malevolent forces at work in our society, intent on destroying our way of life. There is within them a hatred of the principles America was founded on, a hatred of everything that has made us the inspiration and envy of the world. With all the division and chaos these last few years, they see blood in the water. They know that we are weakest when we're fighting with each other, and are poking and poking and poking and backing regular citizens further into a corner. They're pushing to cut off every avenue there is to fight back against them peacefully and legally, so that we're isolated and lose hope. This is so much bigger than all of us. It's always been bigger. It's about the destruction of our way of life and our liberty. The time is now to work together. It's our turn to pick up the torch and answer that call. It's going to take a level of moral and political resolve that the right, as well as independents and others that truly care about this country, no matter the party, have seen in a long, long time. I want to share with you a quote from an article that I read recently by Steve Dace. If you've never listened to his show on The Blaze or wherever you get podcasts from, you really need to. He is bold and he is just awesome. Anyways, he says, quote, "We need warriors right dang now. Not wannabes. Nothing else will do. And with the GOP at the federal level a nearly lost cause when it comes to anything aspirational from a governing perspective." Now, he actually mentions red state governors in the article, but I believe this applies to all of us. So I am inserting us in here. It will be us who will need to lead an unapologetic movement, one in defiance of the spirit of the age. End quote. We must clearly communicate why our freedom, why Springfield, is worth fighting for without hesitation. Not only can we not lose any more ground to this elitist coup, we must finally have a thirst for going on the offensive and taking some ground back. We need our brand of, as the article from the segment before last said, insurgents. I'll explain one last time for the tattletales. Nonviolent. Being compliant and apologetic has gotten us nowhere. What are you prepared to do? Thank you so much for listening. Please hit like or subscribe depending on what platform you're using. This show is finally available in Apple Podcasts now. And share the word to your friends, family, coworkers, anyone else you think might dig the show. If they don't use any of the platforms we're available on now, they can go to anchor.fm/pxpx. That's anchor.fm/pxpx. And listen there as well. Also, email any comments, questions, or suggestions to the_nrp@yahoo.com. the_nrp@yahoo.com. Be sure to tune in next week. My name is Seth, and this is the New Resistance Podcast. See ya!